Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is Gresh and Fourier.
Bounding ball toward the right side. Grab there by the shortstop. Hamblin throws. Ball game over. A three-hit complete game shutout for Tanner Hubb. And the Red Sox have won it 2-0.
It's that time.
Gresh and Fourier right now on WEEI.
As we are at the Ford Fenway Studios here at Fenway Park, I wish last night Fourier, Castiglione would have just gone with a game under 2 hours at Fenway Park. Holy ish.
Oh, listen, when I hear Joe, I go, wow, that dude's got staying power. But that guy's not going anywhere. When I heard the highlight, I was like, wow. He's like one of one now, isn't he?
Well, at an hour and 50 minutes a clip, if we're going to play games that are going to move that fast, hell, he might as well call two his age.
Is that too fast?
No.
Was that game too fast?
No, it's not like sex. It doesn't go too fast.
I mean, Courtney would appreciate the 2 hours. It was like, well, now that's what I'm talking
well,
about.
Well, a baseball game under 2 hours is like 5 minutes of sex. I mean, if we're going to be real about it.
Oh, then it's not enough then.
No, then it isn't enough.
Got to get to 10
Courtney
minutes.
Would have been, Courtney
there
would have
watching
been left
the clock.
Hollow for crying out loud. But how about that? A baseball game that would take you back to 1975 here at Fenway.
Right.
Back before they put all of the whatnot on the field here at the ballpark. Even before they built the stands over the monster.
Yeah, all the advertisement, back in 1975 probably looked like a Notre Dame football game where they got nothing on the sidelines. Nobody's being represented.
Oh, here's your Paul Mall pitcher of the night.
Man, my grandmother smoked Paul Malls.
So did my grandfather.
Holy cow.
Oh, yeah, Pat Gresh.
Oh, man. No filter whatsoever.
And he had a carton right beside his little
the long
recliner.
Ones.
Oh, yeah, the long carton to where you just rip those packs out of there when you need it.
I have the greatest memories of my grandmother, but when I see Paul Mall Reds, I, like, freak out.
Ken's like me. He grew up Yinzer. There, you're always around people that are ripping darts, those old coal miners and stuff. All my dad's friends.
Like their lungs weren't bad enough.
Yeah, exactly.
Being in the coal mines.
Yep.
Let's add to it with some nicotine.
That's right.
Oh,
who's got the pack? Who's got the
jeez.
Well, you didn't need it was a nice, tidy night last night for Alex Cora. He didn't have to go into Jim Leland mode drinking coffee or ripping darts in the dugout or anything like that. And really, Fourier, it's a guy in Tanner Houck who lobbied to stay in the rotation. And, you know, we've had much consternation going into the Red Sox season about the starting rotation, the young guys, who do they just need to leave alone? And Houck with a complete game three-hit shutout yesterday. And it feels like the Red Sox have made the right move in stretching this guy out. He's a young, just let him go throw the ball. And last night he was magnificent. I don't think this is, you know, boy, we're going to get this every time out and they found a number one starter. But it feels like at least with this particular pitcher, and we can ask Lou about this tomorrow, obviously, feels like they made the right move in having Houck as a starter versus a bullpen guy.
Yeah, and listen, this year I think is going to be it's going to be rough, and any sign of like success kind of changes your attitude initially.
Oh my
right
God,
away.
It's day to day.
Whitlock is now on the IL also. Like, what pitcher is not going to be on the IL, and how many of them can you stash on there at one time? It is amazing, and it is funny because yesterday we were talking about, you know, how you view this team is kind of like how some people, you know, monitor, you know, their stocks and bonds, like the, you know,
you're checking every, some check every
you,
day and
some check every day. Every and if you check every day, you'll lose your mind. I think like this needs to be like a weekly thing, because if you watch the last, you know, the two games before this, you would lose your mind. But now you're left with a gem. You're like, well, this is pretty good.
Foyer problems. I look at my portfolio too much.
Zero, and it keeps going down. Now, the problem isn't that it goes down. It's there's no money in it. There's no money in
it. Too many withdrawals.
Oh, my God. Way, especially lately.
Where's the guy clapping at us about divorce from yesterday?
Yeah, let's where are those
one.
Guys?
Yeah, where'd that guy go? But to your overall point, it is it can be maddening depending on how you view this team and how you view this group. And that's why, for me, it's about the youngs. I'm willing to ride the roller coaster of some of these young guys this year. And even though Tanner Houck has been around, he, to me, still feels like one of those guys that you're investing in long term. And last night after the game, they caught up with Houck on Nesson, and he complimented Wong.
Bullpen really happy tonight, Tanner, that you've been able to give them a night off. Considering how much they were taxed, how satisfying is it to be able to go from start to finish for the first time in your career?
I mean, it was great. It was something I'll always remember. You know, me and Wong working together really well tonight. Had everything pretty much working between the split, the slider, and the two-seam. Just super pumped.
So I always like, so Chris Sale, He did it. He just listened to the catcher at all times. He never shook him off. Whatever the catcher wanted, he would throw. It's sometimes when you see some of these pitchers and they're, you know, they're shutouts or, you know, perfect games or whatever it is, really one hit, whatever, one run. If they have a complete game, you go, wow, that's pretty good. You forget that the catcher is basically most of the time should be in control.
Yeah,
like he's the one managing the clock. He's the one managing, you know, each batter that's coming up. He's directing you as much as possible. Yeah, I like I picked up on that because you never really hear about the catcher.
Well, and it goes to show the battery matters, at least to the pitchers. Who is the catcher matters. And I know that we've gone through this over the years with whether it was Doug Maraboli with the knuckleballer Tim Wakefield, God rest. There were certain pitchers who wanted Jason Varitek.
Yeah.
There have been other examples in the past of guys wanting that. It can be a little maddening, especially if that catcher is not great offensively, even though the position has gone down offensively across the board over the years. One little Tanner Houck stat. Have you heard of the Maddox?
Yes. It is, what is that, a complete game under 2 hours?
Look at you. Tanner Houck of the Red Sox is the first MLB pitcher to toss a 9-plus strikeout Maddox,
yeah,
which is 9 or more innings, complete game shutout on under 100 pitches.
Oh, yeah.
He did it in an hour and 50 minutes or less, or what was it, in 150 or less since Maddox did it himself, going all the way back to August 20th, the year of our Lord, 1995.
I'll be honest. So I was watching this game. And I was like, I got to go take a break real quick, and I go take someone to basketball or something like that. I'll come back. And then on my way home, right, I was in the kitchen. I was like, let me turn it back on again. I see all these tweets about how the game is over. What do you mean the game is over?
Yeah.
Like, already? Like, I left in the sixth inning. What do you mean it's over? Yeah, it's over. Done. Perfect. I love it.
Mowing them down. No, love that's it. What you want. A Red Sox win. They're 10-9. They'll look to split the series this afternoon against Cleveland. We got the pregame that starts right here at 12:35, right here on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Network. We're the WEEI Ford Clubhouse Studios, and good morning to you on Twitch. I have not logged in on Twitch on my laptop. I will during the next break. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. And you can also watch us on YouTube. Go to the YouTube. Just type in WEEI. Live stream will pop right up. And you can watch us right there in that unregulated chat for those of you who need to yell racist things or yell fire in the theater or something of
just
that
generally
nature.
Mean comments.
Yeah, pretty much.
Fine with it.
We got a little more intel on the Boston Bruins. Their game one against the Toronto Maple Leafs will be Saturday night, 8:00. And it's going to be on TBS. So that means we get Kenny Albert, the great Eddie Olchuk. That's a win for us to get Eddie O as the analyst. And then Brian Boucher, a Rhode Island guy, who's going to be the ringside dude. So good broadcast crew. Game one, Saturday night. Here we go. You got home ice. You've dominated Toronto. Don't mess around. Go out and make a statement in game one. Game one Saturday night becomes vitally important. I know we'll get into it more tomorrow with Andrew Raycroft. But to me, it is the... You were the nail all regular season, and in game one, we're going to remind you this year, you're the nail to our hammer.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm not worried about it. A lot of people look at the loss on Monday, the loss on Tuesday, mm-hmm. and like, oh, this is a warning sign. This is what they're not focused. They're not in. I don't believe it at all. They just didn't care. They didn't care about it, and if there were anyone who was on that team last year, probably looked at it and said, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Well, last change, if you have home ice, doesn't matter. I don't think they care about it. So, listen, I'm with you. Handle your business, remove all doubt, and move on.
Yep, elbow them right in the mouth in game one, and go out and get you a 4-1 win and remind them who you are. And really establish sort of the playoff intensity. I think that's the other thing for me that I want to see out of the Bruins. And again, I want to unpack this with Razor tomorrow of the next level. You know, we always talk about in sports that when it comes playoff time, we see it in the NBA. Hell, we saw it last night. And I know we'll get to those games last night. I know Miami plays a slow style, but it became slow, a little more methodical, much more half court. Now it's all about the 5-on-5 and then your special teams play. You don't have to worry about goofy overtimes now if you're the Bruins where, you're going to be skating 3-on-3. The Bruins are built to play 5-on-5 as much as possible. That is playoff hockey. That's why we should have some confidence in this team. But let's be real. If you took the four best teams in the Eastern Conference and you put them in the Eastern Conference semifinals, they're all really good teams. They all went over 100 points. It's going to be a grind to get out of this conference, and this is where last year has to work for the Bruins. The disappointment of last year and not being able to grind through that first series to get a win, this is where it's got to start to show up now because you're going to have to grind. It ain't going to be easy. The Bruins and the Celtics, in my opinion, Fourier, are about to go on two very different kinds of runs in terms of the angst and the aggravation and the strain it's going to take to get to where they want to get to.
So the Celtics will have an easy path.
I think the Celtics
whether
are
it's the Heat or the Bulls. Well, that'll be either one of those teams that we play.
And you know what? I think both the Celtics and the Bruins have a chance to win in the first round pretty handily. But I think even when you get into the second round and the way that Milwaukee isn't playing at this point going in, the road for the Bruins will be brutal. You know, I'm glad they've got two goalies. That if one gets hot, you can ride it. Or it's one of those things where you keep doing what you're doing. With the Celtics, in many ways, I think they're kind of fighting themselves when you come right down to it. It's as much about them as it is the opponent. Whereas with the Bruins, it is the we got to, and I know that sounds weird, but I think you understand the context in which I'm saying it. With the Celtics, it's more about them. With the Bruins, it's about find a way to beat the opponent. Because the Bruins are really good at a lot of stuff, but I don't know if they're, quote-unquote, great at anything.
I'd rather them go in with that attitude, no target on their back. And even though the first round last year went to seven games and it could have went either way, especially the last two games, just said, wow, who the hell knows if they would have got out of that first round, who knows what could have happened.
Would they have blown doors like they did in the regular season?
I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into it because that team last year should not have lost. They should not have been bounced so early. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't have, but sure as hell they are. But now there's no target. Now there's no weight of expectations. Because you're a good team, but you're not nearly, have all the status that you had last year or the expectations.
You weren't the President's Trophy winner.
And all these awards.
Records, all that stuff. Yeah.
And you did it early, just like the Celtics did this year.
And I don't want to say that they're just another playoff team because we have championship expectations for the Bruins or think that, hey, maybe they can get to an East Final or maybe even a Cup Final. But you're right. This year, they're just kind of one of the good teams that are in the mix. They're not the rabbit that everyone is chasing. And that's where we get to the Celtics, where last night was very, very interesting for a couple different reasons. So the 76ers beat the Miami Heat 105-104 in a game that was really close in the fourth quarter. But the big thing in that game last night with the Heat and the 76ers was Jimmy Butler's knee started acting up in the fourth quarter. And after the game, he was limping around. It didn't look good. And I do believe the Shams Charania, old Shams this morning, tweeted out, the expectation is Miami's Jimmy Butler will be out a couple of weeks. Butler remarkably played the final three quarters versus the 76ers last night with what is now feared to be an MCL injury.
Yeah, I saw him... There was video of him walking in the tunnel after the game.
Yeah.
He had that sprained MCL walk to him. Gingerly moving, not really putting a lot of weight on it.
Stiff.
Yeah, he is not playing against the Bulls.
Agreed. He's not playing in a first-round series.
Now, it's funny. Even though when I saw that, I was like, how much gamesmanship is he doing right now? Is he limping on purpose? I wouldn't put it past him. Right, but here's the thing.
I know he's a hardo,
If I'm the Celtics, I could care less. I could care less. Play, don't play, games, doesn't matter. We don't care. Honest to God, if it's the Bulls, fine. If it's the Heat, so what? The Heat culture, it's not relevant this year. It's not relevant. An unbelievable run last year. They ended up beating the Bulls last year. Then they go on that run. That's not them this year.
Right.
And more importantly, that's not the Celtics. The Celtics, it's crazy. They're better than they were last year.
It's about
them. It is nuts. And they got rid of the sixth man of the year, a defensive player of the year, Rob Williams, and they got better. Not only did they get player better, but they're mentally better.
Agreed.
They're mentally more prepared. And everything that they're saying, it's perfect. Like, I couldn't script it better for them as far as how to handle it, how to approach it, and what to say to the media.
And at 11 o'clock, you will hear from guys like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and Joe Mazzulla. And if we can get some Brad Stevens in there too, to what Christian's point, everybody's saying the right things, but it's rooted in, we've had the awakening after what happened last year. And then there is the other part of this whole play-in deal that went down last night in the Eastern Conference, and that is the Hawks getting bounced, so they are done. And now it will be Miami playing the winner of the Bulls.
Yep.
So it's the Chicago Bulls.
Yes, Bulls.
So
and Heat.
it was Bulls, Hawks last night with the Bulls winning. And I was reading a little bit. They just popped up on the bottom line there. For the Bulls, Alex Caruso apparently now has a significant knee injury. And they don't know if he's going to be around for the first round of the playoffs if they make it. Now, that's still a net win for the Bulls if Jimmy Butler isn't going to go. You sacrifice Alex Caruso and that goofy headband of his and not go against Jimmy Butler on the other side. That's a big deal, but I'm with you. Whichever team lands in the Celtics' lap, it couldn't have worked out more perfectly. The team I didn't want to see was the 76ers. And now the 76ers are going to battle the Knicks in what I think will be a much tougher series in New York than people think. The 76ers have done a nice job of kind of balancing out that roster a little bit. It showed up last night. Embiid had 23-15 on what people said was a bad night for him.
Yeah, it wasn't great, but he made a bunch of big shots at the end of the game.
He played well in the last really like 5-6 minutes of the game.
Yeah, and that was the difference of the game. And then with Jimmy Butler out, I mean, who was the one guy? Tyler Herro was the only guy they were relying on. They were trying to get him open all over the place. He gets one of his last second shots blocked, and it was still close in the end. We're still close in the end, but they just not enough possession for them to come back.
And now it's going to be Bulls Heat Friday night. The winner will be the victims of the Celtics in the first round.
Yeah, so you got to play Friday night, and then you got to hop on a plane and come play the Boston Celtics, who are just really just chomping at the bit to just beat up on somebody.
No question. And if it is Miami, to your point on the whole travel thing, I don't know where Miami played their last regular season game. But they played that game in Philadelphia last night. So, Jimmy Butler, what's the best thing for a bad knee?
Oh, let's get on an airplane.
Exactly, and fly to South Florida to where they're going to try to play a game tomorrow night. And then to your point, if the Heat win, they're literally hopping on a plane on Saturday, flying up to Boston for the first two games up here. So it'll have been a hell of a run of travel. And with no Jimmy Butler, honestly, and I hate to say this because it sounds like I'm being completely disrespectful to the rest of the roster, and a guy like Eric Spoelstra, who's a made coach, he's a made man. Without Jimmy Butler, you have no reason to fear the Heat whatsoever.
The Celtics have a better team. Even if you brought back that same – and Tyler Herro didn't even play last year. Didn't he get hurt like early on in the season?
I think he was dinged up or trying to come back or came back, like whatever it was.
You're better than them, and you're so unique with your personnel. It's just hard to guard them. It's just hard to – I think any defense that they throw out there, any matchup that the Heat would throw out, the Celtics have a counterpunch to it. Like no matter what you do, they have the manpower – to overcome it.
I guess
it matters.
The only caveat I would throw in is, at least for me anyway, I would love to see the Celtics against a good zone defense and just sort of how they attack offensively, how they go about it, because now you have the ability to have your best six on the floor pretty much at any point in time. So what does going against a zone look like where you've got, let's call them the big four for all intent and purposes, and Derek White? Or the big four and Al Horford on the floor. What does that, to me, what does that look like? So there are a couple of things that in the first round I'd be paying attention to, but I'm kind of with you. At the end of the day, I expect a pretty handy series win to where the Celtics should have a couple of days off before they play a second round.
Yeah, and what's wrong with being overconfident? Immature, if on an immature team, young team, I would say yes.
Okay,
I would say yes. You're about to get your comeuppance. I mean, someone's going to teach you a lesson. Not this team.
I don't think this team is overconfident. If anything, and I know we're going to hear some of the audio from some of the folks over there at the Garden and over at the Auerbach Center at 11 o'clock, but everybody is saying all the right things. It isn't, oh, we're made men. It's only a matter of time. Like, Tatum has kind of fallen into that trap of the whole, well, we'll get there. It's bound to happen. Only a matter of time. We're not hearing that stuff
anymore. No, but I'm saying in general, as a fan, from an analyst, from our point of view, nothing wrong with being overconfident. They're the best team. Like, they should mop up the competition. They should. It should be like, 60 to 40 in the first half. One of those 20-point leads.
Does Elliot Wolf stroll up to the Zoom or the podium today to give some press conference? Does he go walking up there like Conor McGregor?
No.
Like with all the swagger of having the number 3 pick and all that stuff? Because as we are speaking right now, Elliot Wolf is giving some microphone. Really, I think for the first time since the owners' meetings or something like that. It was the combine, I think it was. It was the first time we heard from Elliot Wolf. And I do believe, just to be clear, this is not in response to Bill Belichick being on Pat McAfee yesterday, which we are about to unpack. This isn't a part of any sort of like concerted effort to continue to put the propaganda out there. This was scheduled. It's a big to-do. A week from today, Fourier and I will be in Detroit for round one of the NFL draft. But what we learned yesterday, Fourier, is that, well, I was wrong. Apparently, Bill Belichick is going to Detroit. And not only is Bill going to Detroit, he is going to run his own draft room during the draft with the folks of the Pat McAfee Show. Let me just say this. On behalf of the Gresham Fourier program, to a guy that we both respect, I hate you, Pat McAfee. I hate you. The freedom this guy has. He could just go out and say, yeah, we'll go downtown, set up a war room and put Belichick in there. I mean, it's just amazing. But in listening to Bill yesterday, here was the big takeaway. This is Bill humanizing himself. This is now Bill Belichick kind of doing this, opening the curtain and kind of peeking out as the man behind the scenes. Because even though the answers were a little long yesterday and they had to go to a commercial break in which McAfee's cue was to give somebody a salute to be like, yep, go to break, do what you got to do. I'm not interrupting Belichick. You kind of saw the other side of this guy, that what people like you and Ty Law have talked about for many, many years, and it's mesmerizing. It is. You're just hooked in and listening and be like, oh, my God. You can't believe someone with this depth of knowledge is just kind of burping some of it up. Not all of it, but some of it up on national TV.
Yeah, and I want to get in. I know we got to trending real, because I do want to respond, because there are so many aspects of this that are just juicy and fantastic.
Bill on agents, on quarterbacks, yep, and wide receivers, so much. We will get to it. And, of course, we will get to you at 617-779-7937. No Billy for the next 2 days. Chicken Nick is a trendy man.
The Rich Keefe Show, weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, the Red Sox beat the Guardians 2-0 last night, thanks to a complete game shutout from Tanner Houck. Houck struck out 9 while allowing only 3 hits in the win. Connor Wong hit his third home run of the season. Yesterday, Garrett Whitlock was put on the 15-day IL with a left oblique strain. The Red Sox and Guardians wrap up their 4-game series this afternoon. Brennan Bernardino will open for the Red Sox, with Cooper Criswell coming in relief opposite the Guardians' Carlos Carrasco. After playing last night, Rafael Devers is not in today's lineup. First pitch with Joe Castig and Will Fleming is at 1:35 on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. And don't forget to tune into the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show at 12:35 with Christian Arcand. The Bruins playoff schedule was announced last night. They will play game one of their series against the Toronto Maple Leafs on Saturday. Puck drop for that one is at 8 p.m. And in last night's Eastern Conference play-in tournament games, the 76ers beat the Miami Heat, and the Chicago Bulls beat the Atlanta Hawks. Heat forward Jimmy Butler is feared to have an MCL injury, and per Shams Charania, Butler could miss multiple weeks with the injury. The Celtics await the winner of Heat-Bulls as their first-round opponent. Game 1 is set for Sunday with tip-off at 1 p.m. And that's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
1 week from today, as Fourier and I sit at the Ford Fenway Studios in the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studio, next week, we will be in Detroit on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday for the draft. And, the folks with the Patriots and others are talking about the draft. We're going to get to it. Want to remind you of the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers. Now, during Truck Month, get a great deal on a Ford F-Series, America's best-selling trucks for 47 years straight and official, or for 47 years straight and official truck of your Boston Red Sox. I love Fords. Although I don't have a truck anymore. I have a big old SUV now, but still, brand loyal. You know what Ford stands for? First on race day.
Says who? Is that really?
Ford, yeah. When you go out Ford, it's first on race day.
Oh, okay. I thought the guy who started the whole company's last name was just Ford.
Oh, well, it was, you know, and still Edsel Ford is, it's like Edsel the Third or something running the whole deal now. So Elliot Wolf, and we're going to hear from Elliot Wolf later on, apparently during his press briefing with the assembled media this morning, one of the things that Elliot Wolf did was say that the wide receiver position with the New England Patriots is being undersold, undervalued right now.
Yeah, no, it was wide receivers and offensive linemen are being undersold.
The ones that are here.
Yeah, the ones that are here. Like they have professional wide receivers.
Yeah, here's the quote. Elliot Wolf on if people are underestimating what the Patriots have on offense.
Yeah.
Answer, quote, I do, yes. We have NFL receivers. We have NFL tight ends. We have NFL running backs. We have NFL offensive linemen. We feel good about where we are. Huh. Hold on now. I've got receivers. I've got tight ends. We got running backs, and we got linemen. So there's one position that got a kicker, punter, maybe that Wolf left out.
It is funny. Like I do think it's when
how many PMs, ways can you tell us what you're going to do?
Well, I tell you what, man, I am just. I feel like the more I kind of dig in, the more I am off the whole, you know, picking a quarterback at three. The more I dig in, I'm not saying that they won't take a quarterback.
Don't fall for
it. Okay, I'm not saying that they won't take a quarterback because I do believe they will take a quarterback. Mm-hmm. But I am kind of twisting and turning in the wind based on who I think they will take. Absolutely, and a lot of it was kind of like based off of what Bill was saying yesterday.
Well, it's very interesting in talking about quarterbacks and wide receivers in particular, because the question to Elliot Wolf was about the offense. He pumped up the wide receivers. He mentioned nothing about quarterback whatsoever. But Bill Belichick, as we said, is going to be doing some stuff with the Pat McAfee show. He's going to be – he actually said at one point the 33rd team, which is run by a bunch of FOBs. So who knows what could happen there. But regardless – here was Bill Belichick yesterday on the Pat McAfee show talking about quarterbacks and wide receivers being 50-50 coin flips.
And honestly, you know, there are teams that look at it as they're willing to take more risk for more upside. And then other times you want the conservative pick and you want to, you know, I want to know that I got a good player. Maybe there's another guy on the board. It could be, you know, great, but maybe there's more of a chance that he could also not work out. So
No, these are all pros, Hall of Famers.
No matter what.
All of them.
Well, that Look, we know historically that the wide receivers and quarterbacks in the first round are really a 50-50 proposition in the long run. And so, you know, that's what the stats will tell you. Each year could be different. You know, it could be 83 and you could have, you know, five franchise quarterbacks, or you can end up with none. And so, you know, time will tell on that. But, you know, at this point, everybody's optimistic that the player will reach his potential. And that's why they're being picked. They're being picked because the teams want them.
So, obviously, this is, we've been saying this for a while. The odds are that you're going to miss on your quarterback. That's the odds tell you, oh, okay, even better. It's a 50-50 coin flip. So, we talked about this early in the week. Do you want to gamble? Are you going to gamble on somebody who isn't technically ready and, you know, but you feel like there's a lot of upside? Is that you? Are you more conservative? Would you rather, you know, use your picks and get somebody who's more of a sure thing? You know, because Zach Wilson's of the world, the Trey Lance's Trey of Lance, the world yeah. are massive, massive reaches. That's a gamble. Hey, in 2 years, we feel like this guy will be here. When we get him in our offense, in our meeting rooms, in our weight room, we believe that he will get to here. We have faith in that. Okay, well, fine. Okay, but I don't know, after listening to Bill and like seeing it for myself and then listening to him, like, okay, what do they want to do? What do they want to do? I do believe they want a quarterback. Obviously, they need a quarterback. But do they want somebody who's safer? Do they want a J.J. McCarthy safer pick? Do they want, a Drake May who's bigger and has all the measurables, size, speed, arm strength, who's 6'4", 230? Do they want J.J. McCarthy who's a little bit smaller? Because I don't think their options are going to be Jaden Daniels or Caleb Williams, personally.
Oh, I'm with you. It's going to be whatever, sloppy thirds slide down to the spot. And that the decision will be made for them, as much as it will be sold that, no, we made this decision between Marvin Harrison and this player at quarterback. And speaking of the quarterbacks, Bill Belichick yesterday on the McAfee show talked about the throws the QBs make in college,
I like this one,
but not in the NFL.
I'd say there's a lot of plays these quarterbacks make, they're just not going to make in the National Football League. Like, they're just not going to make.
What kind of plays?
And then the ones that they will make, if you see them make those over and over again, I think that's a pretty good sign that they can do it. And then I'd say there's other examples of players that if they can figure out how they need to play in the National Football League, they'll be really good. But it's not the way they played in college. It's just a different game.
Wow. Okay, I love this. Okay, so I'm going to ask you.
It's not Fourier.
I love it.
He's an old man who doesn't get it. The modern game means you throw it 147 snaps.
Give me what you think are like NFL throws. Like, I mean, it's a broad question, you know.
No, it's not. I don't think it's. I think it's an easy answer. Honestly,
just give me the route. Not necessarily philosophy on like, oh, counter trap. Like,
nope.
What routes are NFL throws?
Can you throw the ball between the numbers over the middle of the field and not get people killed and not turn it over?
Okay, middle reads.
Middle reads.
Okay,
middle of
the field.
The middle of the field is, to me, where the great quarterbacks live. Brady, Rodgers, Mahomes, those guys, they take care of the ball when they're throwing it over the middle. And on the whole, they don't get people killed. Because that's the other thing, too. You can have a great wide receiver, but, you put off-accurate Eric back there, and the next thing you know, your number one wide receiver is running over the middle, and he's reaching for a ball, and the next thing you know, it gets separated. He actually gets hit, and the guy's got to go sit for, a week.
You know who threw a bunch of middle reads?
Who's that?
J.J. McCarthy.
Really?
A lot of them.
Interesting.
You know the other route that I saw him throw?
You're gonna go tight end seam on me?
Absolutely.
I knew you were going there.
Because it's a hard throw.
But that's also really the edges of the middle.
And it is. And every single tight end, every quarterback, you got to throw that seam route.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be able to read the safeties. You got to put it in an area only he can catch it. That's a pro throw.
I think people get googly and want to rub peanut butter all over themselves because of the deep throws down the field. Woo! the real money is in between the numbers in the NFL. That's where guys really end up separating.
And the other one, anything 15 yards, call it 12 yards or more outside the numbers, sideline throws, okay, is a high-end. Now, it's hard to go opposite hash
I was gonna
in
say,
college
are
because
you going far hash,
going far hash, but it's harder because, you know, well, in the pros, the hashes are so close.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have a wider field in college. So can you throw that deep timing comeback out when the guy's going 13, 14, 15 yards and he's coming back to it? Can you throw that on time?
And that's why for me, I went numbers versus hash marks, because in the NFL, it is a little wider. Yeah, because there are those seam routes that you try to get down the hash, but it's really those kind of in between
it's inside the numbers.
The numbers.
Yeah. Top of the numbers would be your landmark.
Because to your point, well, once they started to kind of shrink the hash marks a little bit, really to make those throws to the outside tougher. And to mess with kickers as well. There was that whole part of the, you know, the NFL wonders how salaries went up. So we made it tougher and more important to have a good kicker. So therefore you got to pay him more money. I digress. It is interesting because JJ McCarthy does have some of that, but man, I can't overdraft that guy at three.
And that's why I think that they move out of three.
All right, we're going to continue this. Some thoughts on Bill Belichick. Not only on the kickoff rule, but the Pat McAfee crew asked him about making trades in the draft. And do you go out of your way to build a team for a team in your division? And on draft day, do you look to screw a team in your division? We'll get to that answer from Belichick and his thoughts on the kickoff rules as well. Next, with Gresham Fourier from Fenway.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Draft coverage on WEEI, and Gresham Fourier in particular, because we are heading to the draft. By McFarland Energy, Greater Boston and Cape Cod's choice for home heating, oil delivery, and expert HVAC product and services, McFarlandEnergy.com. By Chock Full of Nuts and by McCormick Spices. We will get to what Elliot Wolf said a little bit later on. And at noon, Danny Green, Odyssey NBA insider, will look ahead in terms of getting ready for the postseason, maybe how the Celtics can be a little different. So we'll have a quick chat with Danny Green today at noon as well. But Fourier, back to Bill Belichick and his appearance on the Pat McAfee show. So one of the guys on the show asked Bill about, you know, the urban legend, let's call it, of do you build a team to beat the other teams in your division first? And on top of that came the, did that tie into making the trade that you did with the Steelers to allow them to take the tackle that the Jets really wanted and kind of screw them last year? And this is one where you needed to see Bill's reaction. Because when he talks about kind of the Jets piece of it very quickly, but he's literally grinning ear to ear the whole time. So just envision that when you hear Bill talking about that Steelers trade last year. Here it is.
We only traded back a couple of spots. We were pretty confident that the Steelers were looking for a tackle, and we were pretty confident that the Jets weren't going to take a corner because they had taken Gardner the year before. And so we kind of thought that both teams were looking for the same thing. So in the end, the Jets ended up taking a pass rusher. But We were really interested in the corner. We probably would have stayed there and taken Gonzalez if there hadn't been a trade available. Well, we would have done that. That's not probably. We would have done that. But, you know, the option to move back a couple spots. And, of course, we didn't know the Steelers were going to take the guy that the Jets wanted. I mean, I would say we weren't heartbroken that that happened.
Just grinning.
That's the way it goes.
He knew what he was doing.
That's so funny. No, the thing that stood out to me is that, you know, I think everybody focuses on the Patriots and all their reconnaissance that they're doing for their own team.
Yep.
What I hear is, hey, you need to do just as much reconnaissance on the other guys, all the other teams, to know what they want, to know what kind of – you almost have to predict what they're going to do.
Pioli's told us.
Yeah.
Part of his job was to have an idea as to what the other teams might do.
Yeah. Okay, so it's, hey, I need a corner. Well, the Jets aren't going to take a corner. So even if I'm not going to believe any of the stuff that I'm hearing or coming out, you know, I know that the Steelers want to tackle, so I feel pretty good. Hell, we would have taken Christian Gonzalez at where we were picking, but we knew he would still be there, so we made the move, right? So that was a smart, proactive move on Bill. And even if you rip all the other drafts and if Christian Gonzalez turns into anything, you'd be like, wow, the last first-round pick he made was a potential, hopefully, you know, all-pro corner.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Maybe he turns in.
He's going to be traded because it was a Bill pick, God forbid, for crying out loud. What we're about to hear now tells me that Bill Belichick is very much into coaching next year. To me, if you thought, all right, this guy might fall in love with TV and just ride off into the sunset and never hop back on a field again, Bill was asked about the new kickoff rules. And does this sound like a man who's getting ready to spend a bunch of time on his boat in the foreseeable future?
And I would say with the new kickoff rules, because there's really no running involved, the kicking team's already down there, the return team's already set up, that there'll be more of an emphasis on size players in the return game than speed, where, you know, a lot of teams would cover with, you know, 6 or 7 DB wide receiver types, you know, with their kickoff unit, and play with the same type of players on the kickoff return, play with a couple corners, a couple wide receivers on the front line that could run and get back and set up. Well, now there's no need for that. You just need guys who can play at the point of attack, shed blocks, and defend their space because of the new alignment. So I think it'll increase the size of the players that are on the field, and I do think that because everybody is spread across the field, that if these returners – and I think these returners, if they hit a little bit of space, they're gone, because it's just going to be a lot harder to overlap than what it was in the past. I don't like that they took the surprise onside kick out of it.
Yeah. So, funny thing, all I'm thinking about is, man, if I'm playing, that means if this rules around, I'm playing on kickoff.
Of course you are.
I'm like, oh, great. Point of attack, bigger guys,
but you
don't
not
need
running.
To run as fast, and you don't have to cover as much ground. Because you would have smaller guys, but every now and then you would have this some freak who was 250 who could run like a 4.4. It was like just a battering ram. So he could cover just as much ground as the smaller linebacker or the strong safety body type.
Well, now guys like Keon White could be on kickoff return. 275-pound guys,
yep,
who can turn and run.
Well, but he was one of those freaks who was just like, okay, look out, this guy is not getting out of his lane. He's just going to run straight down. Just prepare for contact. Prepare for a collision, right? But no, I don't think at all. They asked him, hey, what are you doing with your time? Watching film, going over stuff, you know, breaking down these guys, you know, figuring out what they do well, like dissecting everything. He's
prepping for next year.
It is mesmerizing to listen to him speak. You know, even when he talked about, I didn't even ask for him to grab this cut, even when he talked about the visits, the 30 visits, you know, well, you know, the Washington Commanders brought in 20 guys. Hey, how many people have you ever brought in? The most we brought in was 12. You know, and why these visits are much more valuable than the 15-minute ones at the combine.
Well, the essence of the question to Bill was, oh, did you bring in like 20 guys and take them to Topgolf the way Washington did? And Bill was basically like, it was informational for us.
Yeah, and it's informational for – listen, and he brings up the fact that at the combine, you get 15 minutes. Maybe somebody's nervous and you get a terrible read on him. Maybe somebody overacts and you get like a exaggerated version of this guy. You don't know if that's really who he is. So you really get a chance to for that one of those 30 trips to get him in, figure out who they are because you're with them for a longer period of time, and they can't hide. They can't give you some bull crap. They can't put on a facade. You're going to find out how smart they are. You're going to find out what kind of personality they are. And he also mentioned, which is really, you know, intelligent, which I'm sure a lot of teams do, hey, we love you. You're not going to be around. You're going to be on another team. I'm going to do some information now. And you have the medicals for undrafted free agents. Like, all these things and the security that goes there. There's so much that goes into it. It really is remarkable.
Oh, yeah, the old background checks.
Oh, yeah, because he mentioned the security also being a part of it, the medical, the personality, you know, your background, your injury history, all that stuff.
We're going to get to some Celtics next, and I know that the Elliott Wolf stuff we will likely get to around 11:25, just so we can take some inventory on what we've got there. We also got to hit on the retirement tours that are going on in broadcast, and we didn't get to that yesterday. We also got Danny Green with us at noon, and then we are out of here at about 12:30 for Red Sox baseball. What Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum said about the playoffs, and in particular, protecting home court and the difference mentally between last year and this year for this team. We'll get into some C's next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.